It's hard to believe somebody's telling the truth. If you know, you'd probably lie if you were in their place. That's just one reason, among many, why it's so hard to tell the truth. Especially when there's something in it for me not to. Sometimes we lie because we're afraid. I was a kid, probably 8 years old. Me and my buddy, Bernard Bull, that's a real person, were offered to have our way paid to RA camp. RA stands for Royal Ambassadors. Southern Baptists know about that. It tries to get kids to go into missions. Royal Ambassadors. It sounds so 50s. But we didn't know any better. And so we took them up on it. And we could camp. Hey, sounds like fun. What we didn't know was they expected us to give a report during Sunday night service in front of all those people. And I found out about it about 5 minutes before church started. So fear struck me inside, and I didn't know what to do. I had to think quick on my feet what to do. So I came down with an instant sore throat. I kid you not. And as we stood there in front of those people looking at the audience, looking at us, I was kind of awkward, and Brother Bull allowed is how, now Danny here got a sore throat, so I'm going to talk for me and him both. And I'm standing there rubbing my throat. Yeah. And the big people knew. They knew what I was doing, and they understood it. But I learned then that a lie can get you out of doing something you don't want to do. Bernard went on to get a PhD, and he's an English teacher where I attended college. And after that, I got over my sore throat. I spent the last 50 years preaching biblical truth in public worship that I believe was true for all and good for all, because I learned along the way that the truth is so rare that it's delightful to tell. I can't wait for Sunday morning. Long way for those days where I had the sore throat. The Bible has a lot to say about telling the truth and the consequences of not telling the truth. Father Abraham threw Sarah under the bus to protect himself from harm, claiming that she was his sister and not his wife. That made her fair game for all of the guys on camels. I guess this war on women is nothing new. The story of the Old Testament is about Israel breaking covenant. Time and time again, breaking their covenant with God. So one of the big ten is, thou shalt not bear witness against thy neighbor. And because it is largely ignored, we're in the fix we're in today. Good people can tell tall tales. Perhaps the most famous was the mess that David the king made by trying to reinterpret the sixth commandment to say, thou shalt not admit adultery. No, David, it's comment. But after stealing another man's wife, he lied to cover it up, which is always worse than the original deed. A whole web of relational tragedy was the result of what he said and did, even taking out a contract on his most loyal warrior, Uriah. This is the brave giant killer? The one after God's own heart? Good people can tell tall tales. He thought his popularity would get him out of it. He'd built up this capital and fame and popularity and let him get away with it. And only after being caught, only after being exposed by the prophet Nathan did he repent. Interesting that he lied in public but confessed in private. Because getting caught lying is so embarrassing, humiliating. People will say anything, do anything to keep from being outed. King Solomon got his reputation for wisdom that revolved around a lie. Two gals wanted the same kid, and one of them had to be telling a whopper. Which one? But the king had this creative method up his sleeve to determine the real mother. He said, fetch me a sword, and I'll whack the kid in two and give half of it to one and half of it to the other. It sounds hideous. But the woman who forfeited her chance to be a mother sacrificed herself to save her kid's life. And she's the remorseful one. Oh, my Lord, give the child her. Just don't kill it. But the other woman's nose started Pinocchio-ing as her callousness betrayed her ugly desire to win. I can't have it. Neither is she going to get it. Ugly, ugly. People will lie when they don't want to lose. We hate to lose. Whatever it takes to win. We saw it in the NFL last year. Coaches were coaching athletes to hurt somebody. To take them out of the game. To hurt somebody over a game. Anything to win. A wise king faces a malevolent liar who was intentionally lethal. She didn't care. Kill it. Somebody had to die or was about to die because of her lie. This is deadly stuff. I wonder if Solomon would really have done it. You ever thought about that? It crossed my mind. Would he really have gone through with this? We don't know. All we know is his trick uncovered the phony mother. And he said, give the child to the first woman. She's the true mother. The masterful way to render justice, because what gave it away was love. The real mother's love for her child gave it away. Don't you wish all issues could be settled like that? Sadly, these stories are so up to date. Who knows what to believe anymore? Only the nomenclature has been softened. Where's George Washington when you need him? Nobody lies today. Nobody admits to lying today. We just parse the narrative, or we push the meme, because that keeps us from getting caught. Most people lie because they think they can get away with it. Just throw anything out there and hope we don't get fact checked. But even then, whose facts? One person's facts are another person's lies, depending on how you spin it. We admire folks who are forthright, who come clean, who tell it like it is, even when it hurts, whose statements have the ring of truth to it, who are believable. But it's so hard to tell the truth. So we misspeak. I love that one. I didn't lie, I just misspoke. Or this one, we walk it back. I didn't lie, I just walked it back. Anything but lying. Lying sounds so harsh. Well, that's because it is. So much that's wrong in our world today and in our lives is because of lying. Those with nothing to lose have no reason to lie. But those with a lot to lose do. Those with a lot to lose are afraid to fail. Can't we let somebody fail anymore? But that lies at the root of a lot of lying. So we shade the truth for personal advantage, but there's always been a shortage of honesty and God's flawed children of light. We just know about it quicker today in this instant info age in which we live. I like what old Jesus said. He said, let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. No equivocation. Just put it down there where the cows can get to it, as they used to say in Alabama. Let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. Mean what you say and say what you mean. That's Jesus. Some people have become very skilled at clouding, muddying the waters of communication with ambivalence. It's all intended to leave yourself a way out. And I just shake my head. I find myself, I just shake my head, and how can we hope to live together before we're fit to live with if we can't believe what we're told? On the other hand, considering human nature being what it is and us being what we are, the instinct of self-preservation is so strong. It overrides sound thinking, sound decision making. The instinct is so strong to preserve ourselves. Should we really be shocked at the dishonesty that's so commonplace? Perhaps. But you hate to see it become the norm to live at such a low level of expectation when it comes to integrity anymore. Ah, everybody does it. You know that one. Joe Stalin had it right. He said it's not about how many votes, it's about who does the counting. Everyday stuff. Doesn't that make the biggest sin in our world today gullibility? Bet you didn't expect to come to church and hear that one. The sin of gullibility, it was rampant in Jesus' day, which is why he talked about being wise as serpents. Remember that one? Jesus advocated that people should be wise as serpents, but harmless as doves. Combining opposites is the sign of a wise person. He wasn't afraid to do that. And he championed the combination of sharp minds with soft hearts, because there's too many soft minds and hard hearts out there today. Now, If you're blessed to have a wife who's hard to fool, like I do, you're on to something. You can't fool her. I know that. I've been around too long, and everybody should have one of those. Somebody that knows you so well, that living the truth around them demands accountability. You don't get away with anything. And we built from that a mutual relationship of trust. And that takes so long. It takes so long to get that. And once you get it, you better not break it. How do you restore trust once it's broken? You don't. That's how precious trust is. You can't put Humpty Dumpty back together again. Don't you wish we had true checks and balances of restraint, not just in our town halls, but in human hearts? Because that's where the fat hits the fire, always. It's an inside thing. A conscience that can't be trained to look the other way. Let things slide. I can't think of any place where there is not lying. In the home, in the Bible, in the biblical liars, in sports, Washington, D.C., are you kidding me? In business, anywhere there is cash to be had, the bottom line is money, they're going to play fast and loose with the truth, hoping that somebody will buy it. And there are always those out there who will. Like that guy on Thanksgiving, couldn't wait to eat the food, and he took a bite of hot potatoes so hot it burned his mouth, and he spit the whole mouthful out on the plate in front of God and everybody. He made a comeback when he said, some people will swallow anything. So we have the legal profession, and we have drug companies, and we have insurance and banks and oil spills and Wall Street. God help us. Church is not exempt either. There's no place like an inner city church to hear street people scams. Day after day it happens. And I've heard them all. And what it's done, I've resorted back to my sore throat days with this one. You know, I say, there's nothing like time with the pastor after worship. Because you made everybody feel guilty. And that's the time when we're susceptible. So I just say, well, Sunday is my time with our people. And come back Monday and I'll give you something to eat. Now, it's not technically accurate. But I wouldn't call it wrong. It's white lies. Situational lies. Nobody gets hurt. Preachers are fired for cooking the books. Priests are on trial for child molestation. Coaches sent to prison. How can a duplicitous society survive? Is the church out of its league on this one? It's not just a big problem. Man, it's an old problem. It's as old as the serpent in Genesis. Yay, hath God said, you shall not surely die. The first lie, and not the last. In Jesus' day, posturing and hypocrisy were standard procedure when it came to worship. Zacchaeus would shave funds off the top of the taxes he collected. Temple religion was politicized and ritualized into little meaning for anybody. Ostentation folks stood on street corners pretending to give huge offerings for show And nothing got Jesus' goat more than faking it. It's the only time he came close to cussing somebody out. Religious people, he called you whitewashed tombstones. He said, you make others worse the child of hell than yourselves. On the outside, the Puritans of Palestine are so antiseptic. On the inside, they're nothing but bleached bones, he said. When people are invested in you failing, lies come in handy to make you look bad. So they threatened, the leaders threatened Jesus. They despised him and they began to slander him. They cast it in terms of we're right and he's wrong. But truth told with evil intent matches any lie any of us can ever invent. John says the Pharisees called Jesus an imposter. They even tried to skew the resurrection as fraudulent. Jesus had to go because people feared his success. So people lie because they can't stand for somebody else to be right. They finally got him in front of Pilate, who understood only the power of the point of a sword. Are you a king? Jesus said, there's something more important than royalty. My kingdom is not of this world. Huh? Not of this world. Well, which world is it? The world God had in mind that few people know about anymore. Jesus kept zeroing in on the most hurtful thing we can confront. I came to bear witness to the truth, which ought to have bearing on justice. But Pilate caved because the truth hurts. What is truth? He growled. What is truth? And notice he didn't stay around for the answer. That is the question that didn't want the answer, standing right in front of him. Because reputation trumps truth every time. Old Bobby McGee says, freedom's just another word for nothing left to lose. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And sometimes it'll make you mad. But Pilate had too much to lose to turn Jesus loose. And the last fraud is worse than the first. How they put it. The earliest Christians made a mockery of that cheap shot, that unfair charge about Jesus and Easter, by making truth-telling integral to its way of life. The truth always provokes those it doesn't convert. One of the most dramatic church stories in the book of Acts, chapter 5, it's about a couple very active in the early church, well-respected and thought of highly, but they pretended to give more than they pledged. They pretended to give more than they actually gave. And they ended up dying on the spot when Peter exposed their dishonesty. They keeled over dead. Lying is serious stuff because pretense prevents community. There's not a lot that we can do about the lying that surrounds us every day in our society other than be alert to it and being wise as serpents about it, not buying into it. One reason we come to church, I assume, is to be reminded that truth is having the same idea about something that God has. pray about that. And to be inspired by the scriptures and to be uplifted by the music. And to give our hearts a time of openness and relief. To get away from the cesspool of deceit that confronts us day in and day out. And I think it would be fine to admit that truth is not in any one of us. It is between all of us. Sometimes it's hard to name, but we know it when we see it. And that's what allows you to live like you don't have something to hide. A life of transparency. So you want to be looking back over your shoulder. And keep your eyes on the prize and not the lies. Because another biblical theme is this. God expects us to back up our lives with what we say with our mouth. As St. Paul said, finally, brothers and sisters, that which is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if there be any excellence or any praiseworthy things, think on these things.